Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel. Lord Jesus, for being with us. You said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Thank you that you're with us all the way to heaven, and then for eternity. Praise the Lord. We thank you for it all. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and your grace and mercy today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good to see all of you. I'm Pastor Mike. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. If you have your Bibles, find your place. Two places I'm going to ask you to turn this morning. First of all, to our principal verses that we're looking at, 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. And then also I'd like for you to turn in your Bible to John 16. Keep your Bibles open if you have them with you today, because you'll need them. We'll be looking at some other places together. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and then John chapter 16. Those of you joining us online, may the Lord bless you. We know that many of you these days cannot be with us, and we pray for you and we miss you. And may the Lord bless you. We're glad that you could be with us online. All right, I have in my hand something that I'm asking all of you to do. Lord willing, if the Lord Jesus is not returned a year from now, we'll be finishing 2025, and we'll be finishing this devotional that we've done together as a church. I'm asking you to join me personally and work through, along with all the pastors of our church and others. We're going to be doing this together. I know many of you have your own devotional readings, and these are brief, but each day, starting with day one on Wednesday, January the 1st, we begin reading together what we call solo. We each have solo time with the Lord every day. You'll find this to be useful. Perhaps you can do this at lunchtime or some other time of the day, but it teaches us to do something simple as we read God's Word. We read the passage, we think about it with some questions that'll be asked there, then we pray about what we've thought about, and then we go out and do what we've learned and what we've heard and read that day. This is a good pattern, a good way to learn how to read your Bible, how to combine reading your Bible, thinking about God's Word, and then doing God's Word. So if you'll pick these up, we're going to try to get them out. They're in the back as you go out the door and on the side here, and they'll be out in the weeks ahead. If you fall behind, then you just pick right back up with us, and we'll be reminding you, Lord willing, through the year about where we're going as we study together. I'm looking forward to that we have the opportunity to do that together as a church. We come now to these verses, and I remind you today we look at a song that was sung by the early church, an ancient song, ancient words. I remind you today, they've been sung by the church in many locations. We don't know the tune, we don't know the meter. The words themselves have somewhat of a meter in our English language, and so we take them today because I remind you these words are of great significance to every Christian who hears my voice today. Today we talk about these six lines that describe the great mystery of godliness that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I come to bring you back to think about the greatest of all mysteries ever presented to mankind. There is no mystery to compare to that of the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is. My prayer is that over Christmas time, you had time to make Christmas a Christ-focused time, that you considered the importance of your relationship to Jesus Christ, that you thought about how you've lived for Him over this past year, and I'm hoping that today you're considering, as the week will roll by, you start a new year, how you're going to live for the Lord in 2025. You don't really know what's going to happen next year. We have no idea. We have today. We have today. And so as we come today, we think about our Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm trying to draw our attention back to this and focus our minds. Hard to get focused. Hard to get focused. But here we have a moment for a little while to consider, with all the distractions and all the activities and all the busyness of life, the greatest of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to honor Him and glorify Him today. So we read these words together. They are solemn, mysterious, holy, and glorious. The church says, 1 Timothy 3:16, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Our phrase today is that he who was revealed in the flesh, here's our phrase, was vindicated in the spirit. And so we read now in John chapter 16. The Lord Jesus gives these words to the disciples, the first disciples, but they're also for us today who are followers of Jesus. John 16 in your Bible. John 16 beginning in verse 13. But when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, John 16, 13, comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak of His own initiative. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He, that is the Holy Spirit, will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you. Our focus there in John 16, 14, He will glorify Me. He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. Heavenly Father, now bless the reading of Your Word, and may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So how will Jesus Christ be vindicated as the promised Messiah? How can you take the Lord Jesus Christ, single Him out as the single only human being through whom we must believe in order to go to heaven? How is Jesus Christ vindicated? It reads it very clearly. He who was revealed in the flesh. We've been through that season. This is the season we're in, as we honor the Lord Jesus as what we call His incarnation, enfleshment. He comes to be one of us. He was born into this world. We'll talk about it in a moment. He who was revealed in the flesh, He was vindicated in the spirit. The word vindication is a word that means to be proven true, to be vindicated. We say, well, that person was vindicated of what they had done wrong. That is, they were proven that they weren't guilty of what they were accused of, or that truth is vindicated as so. Vindication. Man seeks vindication. How is it that we now come? How is it that we can base our eternal future upon this one, Jesus Christ, who is the mystery of godliness, who was revealed in the flesh? How is it? Well, He was, the answer is, vindicated in the Spirit. Our focal truth is this, that Jesus Christ was vindicated in the Holy Spirit as the great mystery of godliness. He was vindicated, that is, He was confirmed to be who He said He was based on being filled with the Holy Spirit and doing His work and His ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit, and dying by the power of the Holy Spirit, and being raised again by the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot talk about the Lord Jesus Christ without understanding this mysterious thing. This mysterious thing that the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, was filled with the Holy Spirit of God as He came to do the will of God the Father. He was vindicated. And these words matter to us. The Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus. The Holy Spirit focuses upon glorifying Jesus. When the church is filled with the Spirit, we glorify Jesus. We glorify Him and honor Him in like manner. Our confession says that there is one and only one living true God. There's only one God. But the eternal triune God has revealed Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the mystery of our God, our eternal God. He is revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not three gods, one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is fully divine, and He convicts men of sin and righteousness and judgment, and He, one of his duties, the Holy Spirit of God, exalts Jesus Christ. So today we come to look at these words together, and I'd like for you, in order for us to understand this phrase, was vindicated in the Spirit, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, and in your Bibles, go to the Gospel of Luke and find your place in chapter 1, and I have three observations for you today. And I'll use the Gospel of Luke to demonstrate several of these to you today. How will Jesus Christ be vindicated? How can you base your life and your trust in Jesus Christ so that when you die, you know that you'll go to heaven? Well, here's the answer. He was vindicated in the Spirit. Otherwise, He came along just like other prophets have come along. What's the difference between Jesus and these other prophets who have come? Other religions who have their prophets? Well, He was revealed in flesh and, as we just read, was vindicated in the Spirit. This is quite important. And I'm asking you to pray for me that as I speak today about this very mysterious, amazing truth, that I'll be clear about it. Well, first of all, Jesus Christ was vindicated because He was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary. Secondly, Jesus Christ was vindicated because He was filled with the Holy Spirit His entire earthly ministry. And finally, Jesus Christ was vindicated as the Messiah, truly as the promised one, because He was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. This is quite significant for us. So we get to it. Brother Jeff read to us from Matthew earlier today. Joseph is told by the angel, Matthew chapter 1, stay in Luke, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, the angel says, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. This is a profound statement. This is a miracle. This is a mystery. This is unheard of. This is wonderful. This is beyond imagination. This is beyond human comprehension. The child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So now we read in Luke chapter 1, we've been in this season of time, we've read these verses together. We had a wonderful Christmas Eve service. This place was filled with our people. It was a wonderful time. I hope you were able to come and be with us. What a special time it was. Now the angel is speaking to Mary, Luke chapter 1. And the angel says, beginning in verse 31, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Yeshua, that is, God saves, Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary hears this unbelievable announcement about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she says, how can this be since I'm a virgin? How will I have a son? I'm a virgin. The angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born by the Virgin Mary. He is fully born man, fully born God. This is the great mystery. When we read these words, we see some very special things. It is the Holy Spirit who comes upon Mary, and the power of the Most High overshadows her. And from that union of the Holy Spirit with Mary the Virgin, the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ, is born into this world. A true human man who was also fully God. You see, the demons understood this throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus. When these demons would speak up before the Lord Jesus silenced them and told them to be quiet. On one occasion, the demon cries out when the Lord Jesus is just standing there. When he's standing there, he says, What have you to do with us? Leave us alone. Jesus of Nazareth, he's a man. But there's something different about this man. The demon says, inside of the possessed person, did you come to destroy us? Did you come to destroy us? You know, a demon doesn't say that to a man. Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. A demon doesn't say this to just any man. You are the Holy One of God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom many of you in this room, as well as myself, have submitted ourselves and surrendered to as Lord of our lives, Lord of all, King of kings, Lord of lords. You see, today I remind you, he was revealed in the flesh, vindicated by the Holy Spirit, even in his birth. But we go on. Jesus was confirmed and vindicated or justified, some of your Bibles read, by the Holy Spirit because he was filled with the Holy Spirit his entire life. He was a spirit-filled man who still had to avoid temptation. That sounds like the Christian life. When you come to know Jesus Christ, you're baptized with the Holy Spirit when you believe on the Lord Jesus. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, you walk and you live your life filled with the Spirit, but you still must watch and not yield to temptation. This was the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ's life, who's gone before us. Now we come to his ministry life. Just turn a page or two now. Go over to Luke chapter 3. And in Luke chapter 3, we find that the Lord Jesus begins his earthly ministry. Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse number 21. Luke chapter 3, 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. This is by John the Baptist, calling for a baptism of repentance among Israel, for them to prepare for the Messiah. Now the Lord Jesus comes to identify with those who are repenting of sin. He had no sin, but he identified with them to be baptized. And while he was praying and being baptized, this was for the Lord. The heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. You see the Holy Spirit. Now he sees the Holy Spirit coming. And a voice came out of heaven. You are my beloved Son, in you I am very well pleased. This was that wonderful confirmation that God the Father gave as the Holy Spirit now abides on him. It's not the coming of the Holy Spirit on him. It is a reminder to the Lord Jesus as he is being baptized. He's still fully man. That you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are anointed by the Holy Spirit to do this work that God the Father has called you to do. And he hears God the Father say to him, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. We have God the Father speaking to God the Son who's being baptized while God the Holy Spirit remains upon him. This is the glorious mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was vindicated in the Spirit. No other human being has ever been, nor will be like him. He was baptized, but then we go on and we read a little further. After his genealogy is given in chapter 3, we pick up in chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that Jesus Christ was vindicated as this one and only Son of God who came to the earth in his earthly ministry by the work of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. We read it here. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led around by the Spirit. Watch it now, read your Bible. Was led around. He was full of the Spirit. Now he's being led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. And then the devil came his way and began this series of temptations. I want you to see here that the Lord Jesus Christ is full of the Holy Spirit as he begins his ministry. And where does the Holy Spirit lead him? To Jerusalem? No. To the high priest? To the temple? No. The Holy Spirit, when he is full of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus submits and follows the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to go to the wilderness, and there he fasted, and there he experienced frontal assault from the devil who tempted him over and over again. He was a spirit-filled man being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. He must stand in the power of the Holy Spirit or yield to temptation. And by the power of the Holy Spirit in him, as he's led by the Spirit, he takes the Word of God and he resists the devil. These are all lessons for us who follow Jesus. We do what Jesus did. We learn here this mystery of this one, Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God. He was without a beginning. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, who was born and had a beginning and had a death. You see, now the Lord Jesus goes about his ministry. And we read on now in chapter 4, verse 13, when the devil finished tempting him, he left him until an opportune time. And then we read in verse 14, and Jesus returned to Galilee. Please notice, in the power of the Spirit. First we see him, chapter 4, verse 1, filled with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and now he returns in the power of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus carrying out his ministry in the power of the Spirit. Verse 14, the news was spreading everywhere about him that began to reach to the synagogues. He comes to Nazareth, to his hometown, verse 16, where he was brought up, and it was his custom to go to the synagogue on Sabbath. He stood up and read. They gave to him Isaiah's book, and it was handed to him, and he opened the book, 17, and found the place. And what does he read? The great prophecy about himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, now he confesses to all of his friends and family. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He comes now being led by the Spirit after the wilderness, now being led back home to Galilee. He stands in Nazareth and he reads these amazing words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. He was the anointed one. He was the one upon whom the Holy Spirit now was dwelling in him, filling him with power. He preached and taught the kingdom of God. He lived in the power of the Holy Spirit every day of his ministry life, all of the times of his life, whatever he faced, whoever came his way, whether they believed in him or not. He was the one who, as he went his way, he was led by the Spirit, so he says to some, follow me. He's led by the Spirit of God, and he says to another, your sins are forgiven. He's led by the Spirit of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he says to the dead, get up, come back to life. He's led by the Spirit of God. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit is upon him, and the blind see. and people who are in their sins and who hate God and who are rebels hear the word of God and believe and turn and follow Jesus. This is the great mystery of godliness. The one who was revealed in the flesh, vindicated in the Spirit. Paul said this of the Lord Jesus. He said, "You know Jesus of Nazareth." This is when Peter was speaking to a group of Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 at Cornelius' house, the Roman soldier. "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, this is Acts 10:37, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit." I'm saying to this church at the end of 2024, Jesus Christ is vindicated because he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He lived in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of Virgin Mary. He lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who was exalted in his life by the very Holy Spirit who dwelled within him. This is our Lord Jesus. You know Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. This is no ordinary prophet. This is no ordinary rabbi, religious leader. This one is different. The demons know it. The wicked and godless know it. The religious were blinded from it. This is the one who is anointed by the Holy Spirit with the Holy Spirit's power, and he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God was in him. Finally, Jesus Christ was vindicated because he has been risen from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I cannot take you to the verses I'd like to, but I'll read you one verse for the time's sake. Romans 8:11, let me just read it. "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you." Now, did you hear the phrase? Romans 8:11. "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you." He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. The one who dwelt in him now dwells in you. The same Holy Spirit who raised a dead man, and brought him back to life. Jesus didn't just pass out on the cross. Jesus didn't just somehow have a fainting spell and woke up in the tomb. As the gospel says, Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead. The power of the Holy Spirit brought Jesus Christ back to life, and the same power of the Holy Spirit now has been placed in the life of every believing follower of Jesus. So I ask you today, when you're crying about some sin or some trouble overcoming you and beating you down, have you forgotten the one who dwells within you? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Live a Spirit-filled life. Follow the Holy Spirit. You'll see in your life when the Holy Spirit is present, there's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's patience, there's kindness, there's tender-heartedness. Against such things, there's no need for law. By the way, all of those things I just described are happening in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit when you're going through really hard times, when you're really going through difficult times. The fruit of the Spirit is evident. The evidence that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, unless you're here as a believer today, and you're living in sin, you've walked away from God, you've grieved the Holy Spirit, you've quenched the power of the Holy Spirit, well, it's time today to repent of your sins. It's time today to confess your sin, come back to the Lord, so that you might experience the power of being Spirit-filled and following Jesus. This is the one whom we follow. By the way, you will meet the Lord Jesus at the end of your life, either as your Lord, Savior, Redeemer, or as your final judge. You'll never get away from Jesus Christ. So today's the day. What did Brother Jeff say? The in-between Sunday, whatever that is. This is actually the most important of Sundays. It's the last one for 2024. You're going to take any time then? Now look, you got a lot of football games to watch this week. It's a lot of big schedule. A lot of activities to do. Got to return a bunch of stuff to Walmart that you didn't want that somebody else gave. You got a lot to do. What are you going to do with all these leftovers? It's just such a busy week. Will you take some time and let your mind go back to 2024, a year ago? How did you live for Jesus in 2024? What choices did you make to remove things from your life in 2024 that did not help you one bit to become a better follower of Jesus? And what will you do this year to adjust your busy, busy life before it comes to an end and you meet the Lord Jesus Christ either as Savior or as Judge? You see, we remember these things today as we finish. Jesus was fully human and fully God, filled with the fullness of God. Colossians 1 reads this way. I'm reading Colossians 1:19 to you. It pleased the Father. This is what pleased God the Father. Everybody in here should want to know what pleased God the Father. Colossians 1:19. It pleased the Father that in Him, that is in Jesus Christ, all the fullness should dwell. What did we learn last week from John's gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ? We learned in John chapter 1, of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. You know why you can confess your sin? Because we have one who was revealed in the flesh, full of grace and truth, and you can go to Him and you can confess your sin and of Him receive fullness, of Him receive a fresh filling. Some in this room need, again, fresh and anew to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're filled with something. You're filled with something today. Every person who came to this building today is filled with something. We even have our own jokes about, well, he's full of whatever. Yes, that's actually a good way to describe people because it means this is their life. They're full of this. This is what they live for. Are you full of the Holy Spirit? You say, well, Pastor Mike, that's for preachers and missionaries. No, that's for you. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I said it before, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. He comes to dwell inside of you. He equips you and enables you to know how to serve others. As we get into the new year on Wednesdays, I'm going to be talking about knowing your spiritual gifts. That's vitally important for every person who's a member of this church. For you to somehow plug in and hear what I have to say to you about your spiritual gifts. You see, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. But if I'm living for the Lord, I don't want to grieve the Lord and I don't want to quench the power of God in my life. Are you living for the Lord and are you full of the Holy Spirit? Or today, is this your day? The last Sunday in 2024. And you need to say to God, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. That's an old song we used to sing. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. That may be the best prayer you could ever pray as you begin 2024. 25. The power of the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will give you new life. And I remind you, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated. Can I say this to you as we close? You see, the Lord Jesus used to talk about his body as the temple. He was saying he was the temple, his body was the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Jews took it, made an accusation. Remember, he said, destroy this temple and I'll build it back in 3 days. But you see, Paul has also said this to Christians, and I'm speaking now to every Christian who hears my voice. This is for you as you start 2025. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, glorify God in your body to the praise of the glory of His grace. Great is the mystery of godliness. He was revealed in flesh, vindicated. He was vindicated, hallelujah, in the Holy Spirit to the praise of the glory of His grace. And the Lord is near to the door. Whatever you think of current events today, the Lord Jesus said, when you see these things happening, look up. The judge is near the door. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus.